This morning I want to talk to you about life in the ark. Life in the ark. I want to go to two passages of scripture. Go with me to Titus chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 6. Titus chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 6. Okay, we're going to begin with Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So we're talking about saving grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. We are talking about saving grace. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now go with me to Genesis chapter 6. And just hold Genesis chapter 6 and let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would help me with this message, God. Help me with the truths that are in my heart, Lord. Help me just to bring them out in a simplicity and a clarity, God, that's easily understood, Lord. Father, we're going to look at grace in a different picture today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help me to keep this picture simple, to keep it clear, and ultimately let it speak something in our heart and our lives today, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 6. Look with me at verse 5. We're going to read through verse 8. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Then we have verse 8. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So the Bible tells us that humanity had spiraled into a place of such wickedness and depravity that God's heart was both grieved and both angered by the absolute wickedness of humanity. And the Lord had purposed in his heart to judge the earth and pour out his wrath upon humanity in the means of a flood. But the Bible says that even though Noah wasn't a perfect man, he was a man that walked with God and tried to live a life pleasing to God the best that he could. And therefore, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And beloved, I humbly say this. I know there are some translations that say Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But I like the word grace the best. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When we get to heaven and we ask Noah, "Noah, how are you saved? How is your family saved?" I believe Noah's going to have one word. He's going to say grace. We were marvelously saved by the grace of God. Grace. Amen. So Noah was saved by grace and his family was saved by grace. And of course, as New Covenant believers, we know that we also are marvelously saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Beloved, it's by grace that we have been planted into the ark of Christ. And I want to tell you, there's no safer place to be. There's no securer place to be than in the ark of Christ. In the ark of Christ, there's not a power that's ever been created that can pluck us out of our Father's hand and that can separate us from the love of God. Beloved, in the ark of Christ, we are eternally saved. And for all eternity, there is not a safer place to be than in the ark of Jesus Christ. Now look with me at chapter 6. Look with me at verse 14. This is the Lord speaking to Noah about the ark. And he says in verse 14, make you an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make it in the ark. And thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. So the Lord tells Noah to take pitch and smear it on the outside of the ark and on the inside of the ark. And pitch is like tar. It's a sealant. It's something that's used to fill in cracks. It's something that's used to fill in pinholes. And it's the pitch that made the ark waterproof. It's the pitch that made the ark watertight. And here's what I found is so interesting. In the Hebrew, the word for pitch is the same word used for atonement. I found that very fascinating. It's the same word used for atonement in Leviticus chapter 1 verse 4 when it says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And beloved, my point simply is this. Just as the pitch made the ark watertight, just as the pitch made the ark waterproof, the atoning blood of Christ has made our salvation sin-proof. The atoning blood of Christ has made our salvation sin-tight. In this good old gospel ship called the Ark of Jesus Christ, the enemy can't find one little pinhole through that blood to bring an accusation against our life. He can search and he can search and he can search all through that blood. He's not going to find one little pinhole to bring an accusation against our life. No, no, no. The blood of Christ is so powerful. It has washed all of our sins away. And it has clothed us in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the power of the atoning blood in this good old gospel ship called the Ark of Jesus Christ. But here's something I want us to recognize. Going all the way back to Genesis, saving grace has an evidence. I want us to recognize this. Going all the way back to Genesis, saving grace has an evidence. Look with me. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. We're going to read verse 13 through 16. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He says, make you an ark of gopher wood, rooms you shall make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window you shall make in the ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So here's what I want us to understand. What is happening here? What's happening here? Here's the answer. The same grace that's saving Noah is the same grace that's now beginning to teach Noah. The same grace that's saving Noah is now the same grace that's beginning to instruct Noah. Beloved, understand. Noah doesn't know more how to build an ark than I know how to build an airplane. So now that grace has saved him, grace is beginning to instruct him. Grace is beginning to teach him. And beloved, this Bible makes it very clear that in this new covenant age, grace is teaching us something. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So according to Paul, capture this, saving grace is teaching grace. That word teaching in the Greek language in Titus chapter 2 verse 12, it means what it says. That word teach means to teach, to instruct, to give instructions. It also means to train. So what Paul is telling us is this, saving grace has always been teaching grace. And what it's teaching us is to deny the world's ungodliness and to live godly in this present world. Beloved, if saving grace is not teaching us to live godly, If saving grace is just an excuse to live sinful, disobedient, rebellious lifestyles, because after all, it doesn't matter how I live, God loves me and I'm saved by grace, then what you have is an American grace, but you don't have a biblical grace. Just America's interpretation of what grace is. No, no, no. From the beginning to end, saving grace is a teaching grace. Listen. Biblical saving grace produces godly people. Biblical saving grace produces separated people. Biblical saving grace produces obedient people. And if it's not producing godly, separated, obedient people, then it's not genuine grace. And please hear me, more than anybody, I know we all don't grow at the same speed, we all don't grow at the same rate. Trust me, I know more than anybody, we all have things in our life that we struggle with, that God's having to help us with. But my point is simply this. If saving grace is producing no fruit at all in our life, then it's not saving grace. Amen. You know, over the last week, I've been watching some of my favorite churches back in Alabama. I grew up in old Pentecostal shouting churches. So I just feel like saying, if anybody feels like shouting right there, that'd be all right by me. Amen. If it's not producing anything in your life, don't fool yourself. Get saved. Amen. Now, there's something that I want to talk about, something in my heart. Pastor Tim, that's not it. Nope, that was just my foundation. Look with me at verse 16. The Lord says to Noah, he says, a window you shall make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. So what the Lord just told Noah, he says, Noah, in the top of the ark, I want you to make a window. Make one window in the top of the ark. And here's what I want us to understand. This window is very important. Why? Because it's the ark's source of ventilation. I want you to capture that. It's the ark's source of freshening and refreshing. It's the ark's source of clean air. It's the ark's source of pure air. It's what I call heaven's ventilation. This is where the air comes from. This is where the refreshing comes from. This is where the ventilation comes from. And this window can represent many things, but to me, the one thing it represents more strongly than anything else, it represents the breath of the Holy Spirit. It represents the winds of the Holy Spirit. You see, beloved, in this new covenant age, if anything is going to live in God's sight, the Holy Spirit has to breathe upon it. If anything in our life, if anything in our church is going to live, the Holy Spirit has to breathe upon it. If our worship is going to have life, the Holy Spirit has to breathe upon our worship. If my preaching is going to have life, the Holy Spirit has to breathe upon my preaching. If our ministries and our outreaches are going to have life, the Holy Spirit is going to have to breathe upon it. Beloved, like Noah's window, he is our source and our breath of life in everything we are and everything we do. If there's going to be in any life and anything at all, the Holy Spirit has to breathe upon it. Now, with that thought in mind, here's where I want to go with this. I want you to look with me at verse 16 again. He says, a window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the ark and the door of the ark shall thou set at the side thereof. Now here's what I want you to capture. He says, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make the ark. With lower, second, and third stories shall thou make the ark. So here's what I want you to capture. The Lord says, in this ark, Noah, there's going to be three stories. There's going to be three levels. There's going to be a top level. There's going to be a mid-level. And there's going to be a lower level. Now, this is the word of the Lord. This is the instruction of God. Capture that. He's saying to Noah, God is opening his mouth and saying to Noah, this is the way I designed the ark. There's going to be a top level. There's going to be a mid-level. And there's going to be a lower level in this ark. That is my design for the ark. And beloved, I really feel it's safe to say that the top level, the level closest to the windows, the level closest to the winds, this is where the air is rich. This is where the air is pure. This is where the air is full. This is where the air is sumptuous. The light from the sun shines at its brightest, and the air flows is at its fullest in the top level. And beloved, this top level represents something. It represents those seasons in our life where the Holy Spirit comes and breathes so mightily upon us, and He renews us. Those seasons in our life where He pulls us out of the battles and He pulls us out of the combat. And He says, I want to minister to your life personally. And He begins to breathe upon us and He begins to renew us and He begins to reinvigorate our strength. That's what the top level represents. The top level represents those much needed times in our life when we need to be renewed, when we need to be refreshed. It represents those seasons in our life where God says, you know, you have spent many days, many weeks, many months pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And now I see that you need my ministry. So now you are going to be the focus of my ministry. I'm going to come and I'm going to breathe upon you and I'm going to minister to you and I'm going to renew you and I'm going to re-energize you. I'm going to renew your strength, your passion, your vision. I'm going to refill you. To me, that's what this top level can represent. It's the place in our life where the Holy Spirit says, I need to minister to you. Because you spent so many days, weeks, months pouring out. And I want to make you my focus. And I want to reinvigorate you and refill you. Beloved, this top level can also represent our seasons of great breakthroughs and miracles and deliverances that we've been waiting upon. Suddenly the winds of the Holy Ghost flow so freely and fully in our lives. And the breakthroughs come and the miracles come and the deliverance comes. It's the place where faith becomes sight. It's the place where God is so faithful. You know, He speaks promises in our life. Promises regarding our personal issues of the heart. Promises of breakthroughs for our family. Promises of breakthroughs in our ministries. He's so faithful to put those promises in our heart. And as He puts those promises in our heart, we wait upon those promises and we wait upon those promises. But then suddenly the day comes. The Lord says, I'm just going to breathe so powerfully and so mightily. And suddenly all these changes that we've been waiting on, it's no longer a walk of faith. It becomes a reality in the life. That those changes and transformations that I've been waiting on, I finally see it. It's a reality now. The wind of the Holy Ghost has blown so powerfully. And the things I've been waiting for, I now see. Faith has now become sight. Beloved, this is the top level. This is the highest level. Where the sun is shining in its brightest and the winds are blowing in its fullest. This is a glorious place. This is a wonderful place. And that's what I sense the Holy Spirit put in my heart this morning. That is what the top level represents to this church this morning. But understand, we can't live all of our Christian lives in this high level place. Because if we tried, then the work in the mid-level place and the low-level place would be neglected. You see, God told Noah, I don't want you just to build a high-level place, but you need to build a mid-level place and you need to build a low-level place. There's going to be work to do down there. And if Noah had tried to live in that high-level place, where that sun is shining so bright and the wind is blowing in its fullness, if he tried to live in that high-level place, listen, the mid-level place and the low-level place would be neglected. So there are times that we're going to have to leave that glorious high-level place and descend into that mid-level place in the purposes of God. Now, here's what I want to say about the mid-level place. You know, no one knows for sure exactly what Noah's ark looked like. I have saw drawings, I have seen interpretations, and none of them are the same. But they all have one thing in common. Every drawing you see of the ark, every interpretation you see of the ark, they all have one thing in common. The mid-level place is the broadest place of the ship. The mid-level place is the widest place of the ship. It is the place where most of the animals were kept. And it is the place where most of the animals were tended to. So in other words, it's safe to assume that most of Noah's time and energy was spent in the mid-level place. It's safe to assume that most of Noah's time and strength was spent in the mid-level place. And beloved, this truly represents where we live most our Christian lives and callings, in this mid-level place. You see, the mid-level represents the in-between times and places. Capture that. The mid-level, that's exactly what it is. It represents the in-between times and places. The places between the high point and the low point in the ark. The times between those seasons of great blessings and those seasons of very great brokenness. Those times between the receiving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. These in-between times are where we spend so much of our Christian lives and calling. You see, the mid-level represents the places where most of our days are very significant, but very normal. The place where we faithfully carry out our daily duties and life seems so normal. We live with the expectation that God is going to do something very great, but the mid-level place is the place where we carry out our daily duties while we are waiting for that one great moment with God. The mid-level place is where we spend many days planning and praying and preparing for that one moment God is just going to show up and move so gloriously and everything is going to change. Beloved, how many of you know behind every great move of God, there are many days spent planning and praying and preparing? This is the mid-level place. Understand, if the high-level place represents those great moves of God and those great moments of miraculous breakthroughs, then the mid-level can represent the times of waiting on God. Those long seasons where we are faithfully carrying out our daily duties while waiting on promises that live in our hearts. Beloved, listen. God is so faithful to give His people promises. I don't know one Christian walking with the Lord who doesn't have a promise from the Lord. Waiting on a promise from the Lord. He's so faithful to put a promise in our heart regarding our life. He's so faithful to put promises in our heart regarding our marriages and relationships. He's so faithful to put promises in our heart regarding our ministries. I mean, He is so faithful to give us promises. But at the same time, how many of you know He's not always in a hurry to fulfill those promises? Come on. This isn't a mortuary. How many of you know He's not always... It's always in a hurry to fulfill those promises. You ever wondered why? I wondered why until I asked the Lord and searched it out in the scriptures. You know what I found out? The people in the Bible, God did His most deepest work in their lives in places of waiting. And I learned something. It's in those places of waiting where God really does His deepest work in your life. Listen, you see it so plainly in the life of Abraham, so plainly in the life of Joseph, in the life of David, in the life of Hannah, in the life of Esther, in the life of Elijah, in the life of Nehemiah. God does His deepest work when His people are in a place of waiting. So I just got news for you. I'm going to say it. If God's given you a promise, oh, we're so joyful and we celebrate with you. Glory to God. That's a glorious promise He's given you. But I want you to know something. Don't expect it to happen tomorrow. Don't expect it to happen next week. Ooh. Maybe don't even expect it to happen next year. Because when His people are in that place of waiting and faith and patience, that's where He does His deepest work. Let me just give you some examples. Abraham, Romans 4:20 says, he did not waver in unbelief concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what He planned. Beloved, according to Romans 4:20, where did Abraham grow strong in faith? Did he grow strong in faith in seeing the promises of God fulfilled? Or did he grow strong in faith waiting upon the promises of God to be fulfilled? Romans 4:20 tells us it was while he was waiting upon God's promises that he became strong in faith. If we're going to be people of great faith and grow in great faith, beloved, get ready. There's going to be a lot of waiting times with God. Because that's where you grow strong in faith. Talking about Joseph, capture this. Psalm 105:19, it says, until the time that the word came, now listen to this, the word of the Lord tried him. And that word tried means refined him. In other words, please hear me. In other words, while Joseph was waiting on that promise to be fulfilled. While Joseph was waiting on that word to be fulfilled, that word was refining him as he waited. So what God is saying, I've given you a promise. Now I'm putting you in a place of impossibility and waiting. And in that place of impossibility and waiting, that promise I gave you, it is refining you now. So beloved, what I'm simply saying is this. Anytime we are in a place of patience, waiting for a promise from God to be fulfilled, that promise is refining us as we are waiting. Amen. Over and over again, the Bible reveals that God does His deepest work in the waiting times. So if you receive the promise, we celebrate with you. It's wonderful. God will be faithful. But don't always think it's going to come past tomorrow. It's in the waiting times God is doing something deep in your life. Beloved, again, the mid-level place was the widest and broadest part of Noah's ship, and the place where he spent most of his time and strength and energy. And it's that place where we spend so much of our time in calling. We spend so much of our time praying and preparing. We spend so much of our time waiting on God for promises that are refining us as we are waiting. This is the mid-level place. Amen. And then we come to the last level. The lower level. Beloved, this is the place where you are deep in the belly of the ship. And this is the place where there's barely any natural light, if any light at all. In this lower level place, if there's going to be light, you have to be faithful to keep the lamps burning in this lower place. It is the low level place where you feel the darkest, the darkness the most. It's the low-level place where you feel the isolation the most. It's the low-level place where you feel the loneliness the most. Beloved, this is the place where your calling costs the most. It's the place where you have to minister through your hurt. It's the place where you have to minister through your loneliness. It's the place where you have to minister through the misunderstandings of people. It's the place where your calling costs the most. But I want to tell you three powerful things about this place. It's not an easy place. Times it can be a very lonely place. Times it can be a very painful place. But there are three things that we need to understand about this place. First of all, it's an important place. Beloved, capture this because I think it's so important. There are things about God's heart that only suffering can teach you. Please hear that. There are things about God's heart that only suffering can teach you. How can I truly know Him as the Father of all comfort if I never need comforting? And how can I truly know Him as a friend who sticks closer than a brother if I've never been betrayed? And how can I really know that side of His heart, that He is a faithful God, if I've never fallen into my own pits of personal failure and deep disappointment? Listen, there are just things about His heart we can never experience unless we walk through suffering times with God. If we're going to know His heart in its fullness, if we're going to know His character in its fullness, we're going to know His nature in its fullness. There are just times we're going to have to walk through suffering so we can experience that side of His heart. Where it's no longer just words I read in a page no more, but I've lived through it. I've walked through it with Him. He is my Father of comfort. He is my friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is my faithful God. Beloved, if you really want to know His heart and its fullness, we have to understand we will walk through suffering times so we can experience those parts of His heart. Amen. First of all, these lower places are an important place. Secondly, this low-level place is a very powerful place. This low-level place is where character is forged, comforters are made, compassion is born, and strength is cultivated. Beloved, comforters are not born. Comforters are forged in the fires of suffering. And it's in our own suffering that there is a presence of God and an anointing of the Holy Spirit that begins to fill our comfort. In this fallen, broken, fragmented world, people need the comfort of God, a supernatural comfort that transforms their lives. This comfort fills our lives in the low-level places. So secondly, it's a powerful place. And thirdly, this low-level place is a very intimate place. I'm reminded of Joseph. His last stop before the palace was the dungeon. In all of Egypt, there was no lower place than the dungeon. But something very precious and priceless happened in Joseph's life. As he descended from the pit, down into Potiphar's house, down into the dungeon, the Bible says repeatedly, God was with Joseph. And here's what I want us to understand. When the Bible says God was with Joseph, it doesn't just mean God was with Joseph. No, it means that the presence of God became very intimate in Joseph's life. When he needed comfort, the presence of God came and gave him comfort. When he needed, just God, give me just some kind of hope here. The presence of God came so tenderly, and there was hope. When he needed strength, the presence of God was there and gave him strength. And beloved, what I'm simply saying is, when Joseph finally came out of Egyptian captivity, the presence of God was his most precious treasure. He was going to sit upon the throne of Egypt with all the riches of Egypt at his disposal. But what he found in that low-level place, I'm telling you, all the treasures of Egypt couldn't even begin to compare. No, he sat upon that throne with one thing in his heart. The presence of God is my most precious treasure. That's what he found in the dungeon. Amen. Beloved, that low-level place, it's an important place. It's a powerful place. It's a very intimate place. I want to end with this. This good old gospel ship, this good old grace ship, is going to land us in our heavenly home one day. And when we get to our heavenly home, our only song is going to be grace. In the high level place, it was all grace. In the mid level place, it was all grace. In a low-level place, it was all grace. And as crazy as it may sound, I'm just as grateful for the low-level place as I am for the high-level place, if not more so. The high-level place was refreshing, but the low-level place was very intimate. And from the top of this gospel ship to the bottom of this ship, my only song is grace. Amen. I like that verse. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us home. From the top of the ship to the bottom of the ship, it's all grace. Amen. Stand with me this morning. You know, I really thought about the altar call. Lord, what kind of altar call can I give for this message? And the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Amen. You know, I'm sure while Noah was up on the high level place of the ship working, maybe Ham or Shem was down in the bottom of the ship working. Well, they were still one family in one ark. Amen. So this is what I want us to do. I just want us to pray for one another. And here's how I'm going to do this. If there are people here this morning that say, Pastor Tim, I feel like I'm in the lower level of the ship. I'm just in a very painful season right now, a very hard season right now. But in it, I am seeing the faithfulness of God. In it, I am experiencing an intimacy with the presence of the Lord. But I really could use prayer this morning. I just want to ask, if anybody just feels like I just need prayer this morning, could you come down right now? Just come down. Just come down. Does anyone say, you know, I'm in a hard place this morning, and I just need prayer this morning? I want you to come down. Come on, anyone else? I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And if you need prayer this morning, He is here to rally behind you and give you resources. So, not that I'm trying to build up an altar call. It doesn't matter if there's only one that walks down to me. I'm not about numbers anymore. But I'm saying, don't miss your opportunity for prayer. If you need prayer, please come down, because we're going to pray for you. Amen. All right. These are those who are in the lower level this morning. I want to ask, I want you to be honest with me. Is there anybody here this morning that says, Pastor Tim, I just feel like I'm in the high level today? Sure, I got problems, but I'm just really blessed by the presence of God, and I just feel like I'm just feeling strong in the Lord this morning. Anybody? Come on, raise your hand at me. Anybody? Come on. Well, let me get my high level people to come down. I'm just feeling strong in the Lord this morning. I'm feeling blessed in the Lord this morning. I just want you to lay hands on my brothers and sisters and pray for them this morning. We're one family. Whether you're in the high level this morning or the low level this morning, we're all in this ark. And we're all one family. And we just want to pray with you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, my mid-level people, you pray too. Just pray. People need prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. You designed this ark. You are the one who said there's going to be high-level places. There's going to be mid-level places. And there's going to be low-level places. That is the design of God. Lord, we understand, God, that sometimes when we're in that low-level place, that is just where we're most desperate. We feel our need to really be touched by God, to really be lifted up by God. And Lord, we're just praying this morning, Lord, those that are just in a very hard place this morning, those that are really feeling the cost of their calling this morning, those that are having to every day, they're in a season where they just have to persevere through their pain, persevere through their loneliness, persevere through sometimes feelings of isolation, persevere through misunderstandings of people, God. Lord, we pray for them this morning. Lord, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would strengthen them. God, I pray like Joseph, they would begin to find their resources in the presence of God today. God, those that need grace, I pray presence of God stir in their heart and grant them grace. Presence of God, presence of the living God, stir in their heart and grant them hope this morning. No matter how dark it is, no matter how the present seems and the promises seem, God, would you just stir in their heart, presence of the living God, and begin to breathe hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. The promises of God will come through. They will triumph. They will prevail. Nothing is impossible with God. Lord, I pray through every hardship, every difficulty. Oh, presence of the living God, would you stir in their heart and would you give them strength, God? Would you give them strength? Lord, I'm asking, Lord. God, you said that you provide your people a table in the wilderness. God, they're in a wilderness and they need to find that table. Holy Spirit, would you take them by the hand and lead them to that table? On that table in the wilderness, there is life. On that table in the wilderness, there is bread. There is grace. There is strength. There is the moving, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit, would you lead them to that table this morning? Would you provide for them everything that they need? Father of all comfort, would you comfort them? God, they're in a place right now where they need to know you as the Father of all comfort. They need to experience that part of your heart. They need to experience that part of your nature. God, would you be the Father of comfort now? Lord, would you take the promises of God and would you elevate them in the faces of the giant? God, would you elevate them in the places of death? God, would you just take those promises of God and bring an assurance that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, and they will prevail. Would you comfort their heart? God, places where people have misunderstood them and maybe formed an opinion and attitude against them, God. Lord, it's just a place of misunderstanding, and it happens so easily in this earth. But God, would you comfort their heart? God, would you strengthen their heart? God, would you be with them today? Lord God, I pray it with all of my heart. God, let each one walk out encouraged. The God of the high place is the God of the low place. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. The God who fights the giants in the mountain is the God who will fight the giants in the valley. God, would you let them know, Lord, that God, in their pain, God, in their hurt, God, we're going to feel pain, we're going to feel hurt. But God, we can also feel your comfort. We can also feel your love. We can also feel your acceptance. God, we can also feel that reality in our heart that I am accepted in the beloved of God. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. God, only you can touch the deep places. God, I don't know what the deepest needs of their heart is, but I know you can touch the deep places. Holy Spirit, I know that you can penetrate the deep places and you can minister comfort. You can minister strength. You can minister hope. You can minister peace. You can minister joy in these places. And God, we're just praying. God, we're just praying for them, Lord. God, we're just praying. Thank you, God. With all of my heart, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're all in this ark together. Some are working in the high place. Some are working in the mid place. Some are working in the low place, but we are one family in this ark together. God, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep, God, because we are one family in the Lord, headed for one destination, and that is our heavenly home, God. And I thank you for that, Lord, with all my heart. I thank you for that, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Lord, I want to pray for those who are just in that mid-level place, that place where we spend a lot of time in waiting, waiting on promises, waiting on a word, God, waiting in faith and patience, Lord. Because truly in the waiting times, you really do a deep work in our lives. And I pray for all of us here, God, we all waiting on a word. We're all waiting on a promise. But God, while we're waiting, that very same word is refining us. That very same promise is refining us. God, I pray for just the strength to wait. I'm reminded of Hebrews. Be followers of those who inherit the promises through faith and patience. And I just pray that you would renew our strength. Sometimes in this place of waiting, we can grow weary. God, and I just pray for all of us, Lord, in the place of waiting, you would just renew our strength, renew our confidence in the faithfulness of God. Every promise you made, you will perform, Lord. And God, you said, those who wait upon you, you will renew our strength. God, we will mount up with wings as eagles. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would just renew the strength of your people as they're just waiting upon the promises of God. And Lord, write it in our heart. Waiting time is not wasted time. In the waiting time, Lord, you are doing something very deep in our lives. God, you are the one who designed the mid-level place. You are the one who designed the waiting places with God. You designed it because you know what you're doing in our heart. God, just let that revelation birth a strength in our heart. Wow, I am waiting, but God is in control. He's doing something in the waiting time. He's doing something deep in the waiting time. Let that be a revelation that gets in our heart, becomes a strength to us in the waiting time. And Lord, I just thank you, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, stand with me, and we will close in prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you for this service. God, I thank you for the worship. Lord, I sensed your strength in the worship. I sensed the graciousness of your presence in the worship. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless our worship team, God. Bless them. I know there are times that they have to battle through to lead us in the places of worship. And I just pray that you would refresh them, quicken the promises of God to their heart, God. Lord, I thank you for the word this morning, just another way of looking at grace. And I sensed your hand upon the word this morning. I sensed a clarity and an understanding. And I thank you for that, God. And Lord, just be with us now, God, as we leave and stir our hearts with a hunger, Lord, to be a people who seek you. That, Lord, we would spend quality time seeking you throughout the week, God. The time that we have been given, Lord, we would seek you, Lord. And I thank you. And I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.